On podcast 1765, Germany tries to derail an EV law. Tesla cuts prices in Europe and France's EV share. Well, trying a new thing so you know when to expect a show, we go live at 5pm UK, that's midday Eastern. Patreon supporters get the episodes as soon as they're ready, though, and ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. It's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Monday, 6th of March. Happy New Week. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Last month, France's plug-in EV share was 23.8%, up from 20% year-on-year, with full electrics driving the growth. Dacia Spring was the best-selling full electric for the third consecutive month, followed by Tesla Model Y and Peugeot E208. Also doing well, the electric Megane and MG4. Combustion powertrains now less than 50% in France. And despite some of the recent economic recovery and supply chain improvements, the overall car market is still surrounded by a bit of negative economic sentiment. In many countries, that is the case. Plug-in vehicles, though, do remain competitive and are on the up. Tesla's Berlin production is ramping up, so 18,000 Model Y units made per month and more supply arriving from Shanghai. So plenty of supply in France and all around Europe, actually. Overall, France's plug-in EV market share continues to grow and full electrics are leading the charge. That's a great thing. Now, let's talk about Mazda in North America, are saying they had a great February, actually. Best ever February in the US. However, the newly introduced Mazda MX-30 all-electric vehicle sold only two last month. Just checks my notes. Yep, that's definitely two. January, though, it was a heady nine. Well, that's either limited supply of a vehicle that they don't really want to make and don't really want to sell you because you can't get it everywhere across the US, not eligible for the federal tax credit, base price of £34,000. It's a short-range EV with 100 miles of range. In Europe, they introduced the MX-30 range extender, plug-in hybrid, 17.8 kilowatt-hour battery. So you can recharge it, but also with an engine inside it as well. Mazda, one of those countries that feels like they've got some work to do in deciding whether they really want to make electric vehicles or not. Now, Germany trying to derail the EU rule for emission-free transport by 2035. The minority party in Germany is attempting to block the EU plan to ban combustion engines in 2035 as part of the European Green Deal. The FDP, Free Democratic Party, wants e-fuels and biofuels to be exempted, hoping that in some way that will support the German car industry. However, there's not enough biofuels available for a significant number of cars. Massive EU regulation would be necessary to ensure that transition to e-fuels. And often they're made as well by generating, although it's a very controversial subject, but loads of carbon emissions along the way. Volkswagen, for example, said they'll go all electric by 2033. Others are following. But the FDP's demand is more for the fear of the transition than actually reality, because all the big car makers, now they were given a direction of travel. It's all big companies want. They just want to know, what's the regulatory framework? How do we operate? Okay, let's go for it. Whereas we don't need to be at the very, very last minute prevaricating and saying, well, now Europe's not sure. Maybe we will, maybe we won't ban. That's not good for investment, and it hands the advantage to the US and China. Italy, Poland, and Bulgaria also oppose these new regulations, but it's Germany's vote for the law, which means people are paying attention. It gives it a qualified majority. The reduction of EV car prices in the coming years is something that we can see happening. We know small cars are going to be coming. We know that we don't need to worry about people getting into electric vehicles. It will happen. There'll be second, third, fourth-hand cars. They will get cheaper. But the political party in Germany saying that they're just too worried about the move to EV. I think it's misguided. You won't be surprised to hear that the person that presents an EV podcast doesn't necessarily agree with the political party trying at the last minute to derail this 2035 combustion ban. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Now, a big announcement to tell you about today. General Motors announcing a partnership with Samsung SDI to build a joint venture plant in Michigan. Annual production capacity of 50 gigawatt hours, which is just huge. I don't know if that is, they haven't given a timescale on when they'll get to that. If they have, I couldn't find it. But that's normally a ramp up over several years. They say that they have the ability to manufacture cylindrical cells as well as prismatics and pouch batteries, which is, I don't know if that's unique, but certainly you don't often hear about a new facility that's going to be producing all different form factors. They tend to focus on one, as far as I know. The decision to partner with Samsung instead of LG reflects General Motors' efforts to diversify their battery supply. Until now, GM and LG have been locked hand in hand. GM uses the pouch batteries at the minute, the pouch cells for their Ultium cells in their EV. Samsung's joint venture with GM will mark their second partnership in North America, following the one with Stellantis announced, that was about a year ago, April last year, I think. Analysts suggesting that Samsung's recent aggressive approach into North America has all been part of this regulatory framework that's been put in place to make the batteries in the US so that you get access to those subsidies. The partnership also highlights the complexity of what car makers and battery makers need to do to work together. GM until now has been pretty much monogamous with LG, but you know, they're spreading the love around General Motors. Let's talk about Li Auto, a Chinese car maker. They're going to start making 800 volts superchargers in China. The first one will be uncovered in the end of March this year with four charging piles at that supercharging station. The current models of extended range EVs don't hint towards a kind of 800 volt future. But if they're building out 800 volt superchargers, maybe they're going to have these two technologies in parallel, and the company's products using high voltage silicon carbide 800 volt systems, which, you know, until now has been the preserve of things like Taycons and Porsches and Audis and the Korean EGMP platform operating, or Lucid is a very high voltage platform. But as we start to talk about this, we start to wonder actually if the future of our electric vehicles could be at higher voltages. Typically, it's 350 or 400 volt systems we tend to use as a bit of a shorthand. So we'll keep an eye on that. Li Auto wants 3,000 supercharging stations by the middle of the decade. The company's supercharging stations will be open to other models, they say, built on 800 volt platforms, ensuring that each one can charge at its most efficient. Some of the fastest charging we've seen around the world has been in China. And so something to watch could be an indication for the wider EV market. I mean, we'll know when Cybertruck comes out, because Cybertruck is the big next thing from Tesla. If that is on a higher voltage platform, that I think will indicate that over the next mid to long term, the car industry will move away from the kind of platforms and the way we're building EVs at the moment to higher voltage architectures. But that's kind of a bigger subject that we'll just keep on dipping into and keeping an eye on. Now let's talk about Tesla cutting prices on inventory vehicles in Europe. And by inventory, I mean new, but not really new. So they've done less than 50 miles. Tesla's once again reducing the price of their EVs, this time on inventory vehicles in Europe. The discount only applies to new Model 3s and Model Ys with less than 50 kilometers or 50 miles, not part of the used inventory. The discount varies, and it ranges from about 1.5 to 7%. And there doesn't seem to be a correlation between the location and the amount of the discount. The price cut likely comes as Tesla seeks to continue building market share, but also rumors of new platforms, of the new Model 3, of the new Model Y. Now, I understood that to be a Q3, Q4 thing, not an imminent thing. So one of the things that you see when Tesla start to do discounting on their new vehicles is they're clearing out their demos. They're clearing out their demonstrators. They're clearing out their test drive vehicles. They're clearing out anything they've got in stock. And that means imminently they're expecting to refresh that. So it could be that the Model 3 is imminently about to be refreshed. We've heard so many stories about it over the last few months. It could signify that, or it might not. I don't want to lead you down the garden path. Tesla is known for adjusting their prices And in the first quarter of this year, we saw some big price cuts and big, or price adjustments, I think they'd like me to call it. The recent price adjustment on vehicles in Europe will save customers thousands of euros and thousands of pounds. And it's consistent with what they've been doing in China as well, where they've also adjusted prices to compete with their fellow competitors. Having a look at the UK sites, like, I'm not going to go around every European country. We'd be here all day. However, I'm looking at the UK site and the Model 3, which are the rear-wheel drive. I still call it SR Plus or Standard Range, but they now call it rear-wheel drive. That's the official model name these days. Model 3 rear-wheel drive, $42,990 is the price that you will pay if you get a brand new one, which is a very competitive price for that car, by the way. But if you go to the inventory section, you can get one that's done less than 50 miles for $44,70. So that's £40,470 down from £42,990. That's for the rear wheel drive. That's in white, so standard colour, partial premium interior, etc., etc. If you have a look at the long range, so long range dual motor is what it's called, that's down from £59,90. Let's say 51, shorthand, because otherwise we'll be here all day. So 51 down to 48, so within a tenner. But 51,000 to 48,000. The Model 3 Performance down from 58,000 to 54,500. So some serious discounts there. And all these cars are effectively new. Same is for the Model Y as well. I won't go through all the various price adjustments. But if you are in the market for a brand new Tesla, see if they've got any left in inventory if you were about to buy. Because again, with the price cuts that are stacked on top of what we had earlier this year, they are clearly very keen to sell you a car as we're in the last 3 weeks of the quarter. It could just be they're trying to hit targets, or it could be they're clearing it out. We don't know, but that's the news. Right, coming up very soon, we'll talk about some battery storage for chargers and also why we need to be careful with security around charging stations. Stick around, those stories on the way. And if you want your podcast ad-free, you can support me on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You won't be surprised to hear. You get your own RSS feed, you pop that into your usual podcast app, and it strips out the ads, so you get the show ad-free and before everybody else. It's as soon as it's edited and made, and we'll publish on Patreon the minute it's ready. Back in a sec. Okay, let's talk about the carbon ceramic brake kit for the Model S Plaid that is set to be released. It's a $20,000 option that will allow the Model S Plaid to hit the advertised speed of 200 miles an hour. That $20,000 does include installation costs via Tesla's service. The brake parts identify themselves to the car's computer, and that unlocks the maximum speed. Those that have expressed an interest in buying the kit have now been contacted by Tesla to say that it's being released in the coming months in limited quantities. The standard brakes of the Model S Plaid have been downgraded recently. They're little plastic covers on. They look pretty fancy pants, but then you take the plastic covers off and they're pretty standard brakes underneath. And actually, slowing down a Model S Plaid is one of the criticisms of that vehicle, but only because it's so brutally fast in the first place. Really hard to slow it down if you are driving it hard. But there's a solid reason to buy that ceramic brake kit if you particularly want to unlock 200 miles an hour. Tesla Model Y has a safety recall. 4,500 of them don't have the bolts secured properly in the back seats. One or more of the bolts may not have been torqued to spec, and it caused the seatbelt system not to perform as designed in a collision. So this is a very serious thing. It is 3,500 model-wise, made 22 to 23 out of whatever 1.4 million vehicles Tesla made. Look, all car makers have these things. Rivian had it recently. And so this isn't, unfortunately, a recall that can be done over the air. But I think, you know, you put a bunch of Tesla service vans on this, and you can whip round those, I think, within a few weeks, certainly quicker than a traditional car maker having that car back at the garage all day long and waiting to get your car back. If Tesla can come to your place, get those torqued up to the correct, and then they'll be on their way. They can do like 10 or 12 of those visits a day and put a few vans on that job, and you'll be done a whole recall in 2 or 3 weeks. But that might be affecting you. Just letting you know on the podcast, if you're a Model Y owner, to look out for that. Now, our next energy will provide energy storage for a Berkshire Hathaway project in West Virginia. They've been chosen to provide grid storage to a solar-powered manufacturing hub worth $500 million. And our next energy, or ONE, or One, you'll see it written, will also build a factory on the site to assemble more battery storage systems. The companies continue to invest in their EV battery business, including plans for a $1.6 billion EV battery cell plant to open in Michigan next year. Next, let's talk about some battery storage. Evercharge and Passkey, two subsidiaries of SK, the South Korean group, are partnering to develop storage at charging stations to consolidate power off-peak or when the chargers aren't being used. It's a brilliant idea. I've loved this idea, this concept, for so long. Some brilliant implementations of it out in the market already, and you can charge up the batteries inside the chargers when the grid is either cheapest, or just trickle charge. You haven't got those kind of peak charges, those peak demand charges that you get hit with sometimes. And then when an EV arrives, it dumps all that energy into the battery. Then the EV goes on its merry way and those batteries can recharge again. The US EV market for lithium iron phosphate batteries is taking off. Been prevalent in China for a long time now, but gaining traction in the US EV market as car makers look to embrace the cheaper cost and better safety. LFP technology accounts for 9% of battery capacity in US EVs in 2022, but that was up from nothing the previous year. And the situation's about to change with the company that I just mentioned, Our Next Energy, producing those LFP batteries in Michigan and expanding next year after opening their new plant. By 2027, the company will supply enough LFP batteries for 200,000 EVs. Ford announcing as well they will license technology from CATL to make LFP batteries in the US. They hold less energy pound per pound than a nickel-rich battery. But they can be recharged when they're very cold, all the way to 100%, and very good for people who don't want to think about, oh, can I charge to 80% because I'm managing my battery? And that's fine for maybe people like you and me as well. I don't mind paying attention to that. But for a lot of people, EVs will just be a utility and they just want to plug the car in. And if it sits at 100% all the time, the LFP batteries are very good. In fact, they want to be charged because it helps sort out the BMS and some of that correlation between how full the battery is. And so there's lots of benefits to them. And of course, lower cost, good use in commercial vehicles as well. The higher cost of nickel and cobalt in as EV sales grow is something that we need to be mindful of and helping, you know, making sure that we actually make cheaper EVs that are available at good price points. When Toyota gets humbled, everyone should take note, is the message from Automotive News executive editor Jamie Butters. Toyota, very well known for quality and supplier, you know, relations and doing big deals and putting the most amount of vehicles on the road in the world, is clearly behind in electric vehicles. They recently took apart a Tesla Model Y and admitted that it was a work of art. Tesla has leapfrogged Toyota when it comes to EVs. Now, Automotive News making the argument that Toyota have the ability, the staff, the money, the resources to catch up if they want to, and that if they do genuinely feel humbled that Tesla has outsmarted them, that that Toyota as a wounded beast, if you like, could come out fighting and make some great EVs. Let me also temper that excitement by saying that Greenpeace have now filed a complaint accusing Toyota of making false claims about their hybrid vehicles. The complaint alleges that Toyota plans to achieve net zero emissions and that those claims are misleading. The company has emissions reductions targets that they say, when you think, look at hydrogen and the amount of green hydrogen available, in other words, not too much of it, that we shouldn't be thinking of hydrogen as a green fuel. Greenpeace claims Toyota hybrid cars are not self-charging, as the company claims, but are merely petrol-powered. And it's lovely to see Greenpeace getting on the no such thing as a self-charging hybrid bandwagon. Toyota Australia has denied the claims. The ACCC, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, which is a very important body, has conducted a review around greenwashing, and this is why Greenpeace have taken issue with Toyota. Greenwashing is a tactic used by companies to make products and appear greener than they really are. As you know, Toyota make some good products, but it's their marketing, their messaging, how they come to market that really bothers me. And also the amount they spend on lobbying in the US, number one car maker on lobbying in the US. And you got to ask that question of, well, why? Why do they want to maintain the status quo to sell more combustion vehicles? And that's their prerogative. That's their right to do that. But when an organization as big as Greenpeace is now filing a claim that could cost Toyota $50 million, you have to say, well, actually, the world is sitting up and paying attention and saying, hang on a minute, this is just not cool what you're doing. Let's move on and talk about Xcel Energy. Their plan to be the largest utility-owned charging network in Minnesota. There's been some opposition to that as well. They've got a proposal to install 730 EV fast chargers in Minnesota, and some people have opposed it. Xcel hopes the plan will help jumpstart the EV revolution in Minnesota, the gas station and EV charging industries. However, not all of them are happy about how a utility can be an EV charging provider. Despite the concerns, Xcel believes that their charging network would spur EV adoption. Xcel's proposal is part of a $333 million ratepayer-funded plan to boost EV adoption. The Public Utilities Commission will decide this year on how much of that proposal will become reality, though. Now, two-thirds of the planned European battery production could well be at risk, according to new analysis from Transport and Environment, revealing that two-thirds of the planned lithium-ion battery production in Europe could be at risk of being cancelled, delayed, or even scaled down because of the incentives being offered by the US. Tesla in Berlin, Northvolt in Germany, Italvolt near Turin could all lose volume of what we've been promised of their capacity because of the incentives in things like the Inflation Reduction Act and the attractiveness of making things in the US because of those schemes that have been launched recently. The report says that maybe an EU-wide support package is needed to ensure that battery production is scaled up. And finally, EV charger cybersecurity is one of the subjects that experts are talking about. Vulnerabilities in the Open Charge Point Protocol, OCPP, that could enable a distributed attack, the kind of thing that we see online. Cybersecurity experts saying that EV chargers should not be exempted from people's worries and that we need to pay attention to the security and vulnerabilities around possible charging stations and the threats towards them. The US has fewer than 51,000 level 2 and DC fast charging stations right now, but clearly that's going to be going up exponentially. And the senior director of strategy at Dragos, Phil Tonkin, warning that EV chargers should be considered an Internet of Things technology and have a very high priority of security around them. A full link to that website from darkreading.com in the show notes. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Porsche of the Village, Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Octopus Electric Universe, global public charging made simple with one app and one map, and LeasePlan Electric Moments, providing all the tools and guidance EV drivers need. Have a good one, see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. And now, Greenpeace agree.